Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Have the offer from Chavers and Moe. I don't believe they have the experience to do this, so I'm not going to spend much time on that. The Beulah Town Center offer, Hemmer and Partners, and then we have a mystery new one, apparently Eminent, which I have no idea about that one.
I did hear Teresa say that was a third one. Is there a third proposal?
I'm not aware of that, Mr. Commissioner May. I'm not sure.
Okay. I didn't know. I just heard her say that.
So. Yeah, I heard that as well. I'm not sure. Commissioner Burgosh?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Yes, my understanding, and I will have a meeting tomorrow afternoon with a group that includes two local persons and a group out of Alabama. Whether or not they're going to bring something, I don't know. I'm told they will. But right now, we got to deal with what's in front of us, not what might happen tomorrow.
So the conversation about OLF 8, Outlying Landing Field 8, a 9 mile west of Navy Federal Credit Union, this ongoing project for forever and ever that we have been sitting on vacant for now 5 years since 2019. We took possession and means almost $15 million in sunk cost. Of course, every year that price tag goes up because failing to do anything with that money, with the cost of inflation and so forth. I know Commissioner Burgosh likes to brag about how this is going to bring in a pretty hefty, profit when we do sell it. If we sell it for $25, we make $10 million.
Right now we owe $14.6 million on that property. If we do things right, we're about to cash that in and get $10 million that we could all put for infrastructure.
Yeah, but $15 million in, 2019 or 2018 or 2017 dollars starts to look more like $18, $19, $20 million in today's dollars. And that doesn't entirely factor in the massively increased cost of construction. What could you have done with that money? How effective would it have been back then? Much more so than now. What's the price of everything these days? Way higher. Whether it's ambulances or fire trucks or paving roads or mast arms for turn signals or whatever, it's all very, very expensive. So don't believe the misrepresentation that somehow this is going to be a massive moneymaker for us when we do sell it, because, again, it's going to be 2024 or 2025 or 2026 dollars versus what was sunk. But that's not the big issue, okay? The big issue is, for the first time that I have really seen in this conversation, you have open disagreement between Stephen Berry, District 5, the commission chairman, and, what seems to be the person who's basically running the commission all the time, and, Jeff Burgosh, which is in his district, and he's advocated for this for a long time. Now, keep in mind, because there is basically an offer sort of on the table, okay, to the point that he would have to exclude himself from the vote. Stephen Berry, who does business as a CPA or as a financial planner, with Chavers Construction, who does a lot of construction projects for the county, he has to abstain from votes.
I had a conversation with the Madam Counsel yesterday. If the eventual discussion is going to result in a vote about either agreement or anything formal, any formal action taken by the board, I will be having to abstain.
And he goes on to a long explanation of why, because, voting for Beulah Town Center means voting against Chavers. Voting for Chavers means voting for Chavers. Either way, it's a conflict for him, so he has to abstain. And I've said this before. It is legal, according to the current rules of ethics in Florida, for him to engage in the conversation about the vote. It is not legal for him to actually engage in the vote. I think that makes no sense. I think that, and this is not how the law is written, but sometimes the what's right is different than what the law requires, what ethics requires, the official ethics of the state. I think he shouldn't be talking about it, because if it's true that he can't vote on it, then he shouldn't be lobbying for it. And he is very clearly lobbying for what to do and what not to do in this regard. And since he shouldn't be talking about it, we're now down to three county commissioners, because we don't have a fourth, as came up repeatedly in this meeting Monday. They pushed two different items because we don't have a District 4 commissioner, the lighting item, and then the other one was the boating, the proximity to boat ramps and paddleboard launches and all of that got pushed because we don't have a District 4 commissioner ever since Robert Bender became the supervisor of elections. And since those are things that affect, for example, the beach and the waterfront and the city of Pensacola, and, we don't have a commissioner, so they can't vote. And here, when it comes to OLFA, they're on the verge of making major decisions for the county One person can't vote at all, shouldn't be involved in the conversation at all, but is. And the fifth person isn't even there to vote. And we don't even know if we're going to get somebody before the election. That's the general rumor right now, is that the governor isn't going to appoint somebody until after at least the primary, when the Republican would have been selected. So we'll see. But what I thought was fascinating about this meeting is Allison Rogers, the county attorney, very closely aligned with Stephen Barry. Remember, she's the one that actually went to Tallahassee to represent him in the ethics board question of whether he can ask for the back pay for the ICMA 401A, where the county would pay him $250,000-ish, close to that, for the retirement account, and actually went with her. So they're very closely aligned generally. And Jeff Bergosh is saying, I don't know what the problem is. There are reasonable terms in this contract from Beulah Town Center. We need to get a deal. Personal interpretation, I think that Jeff views getting a deal done on OLF 8 before the primary as the decisive. I can go to the voters and say, I won this one for you. We got a deal done. And, you know, which is a very understandable politician-y thing to say, is we can get it done. I don't think that Stephen Barry feels the same kind of pressure for the election this year because he's not facing the same kind of challengers that Jeff is. But anyway, that aside, there's a big disagreement that became public between Jeff and Allison over what things to include. For example, Beulah Town Center wanted a clause in the contract that would say that if the county says no at the end of this process, at the end of closing, they're entitled to some kind of compensation for that because they've wasted all of their time and money along the way. They didn't want to be vulnerable like that. Allison Rogers is trying to say you shouldn't have that contract stipulation in there. We'll come back to this in a second so you can hear the interaction and make of it what you will. Jimmy's got traffic on the fives. Jimmy?
Andrew, we're not seeing too much on the roadways this morning. If you're coming in from Gulf Breeze and Milton, or Gulf Breeze and Navarre, you are clear over the 3 Mile Bridge all the way into Pensacola. And if you're coming in from Pace or Milton, you guys are looking really good on the intersections of Woodbine and Chemukla with their respective intersections with Highway 90. If you see anything else on the road, please call or text our traffic tip line, 437-1620. This traffic report brought to you by ECUA. ECUA Bulk Waste Services now call for pickup. Call by 2 p.m. the day before your service day. Learn more at ecua.fl.gov. I'm Jimmy with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, Jimmy. Back to the conversation about the OLF 8 property and its future with Commissioner Bergosh and Allison Rogers, the county attorney.
Start with that. So one of them is the agreement contains several provisions that require the county to indemnify and hold Beulah Town Center harmless and pay its attorney fees in the event of a default breach or other dispute by the county. I mean, that seems reasonable to me. If we delay them, that would be our fault. I'd like to know what is, I mean.
I can say it's going to be very difficult to try to hash out this specific wording.
I know it's going to, but if we don't do it now, it's never going to happen. We're playing ping pong like Forrest Gump. It's time.
Why don't we just put it on a workshop?
Well, we could do that, but we could just make this a quick workshop. But I'd like the answer to the question. So you were saying, Madam Attorney?
I'm going to certainly have concerns with any provision where the county's indemnifying them. But
is that not a standard? Okay, if we do something, help me understand this. We do something that prevents them from closing. We do it purposely. Is that not a standard provision that the seller would have some culpability there? Is that not standard?
I don't disagree that if we hold up somebody that there could be a problem.
Okay, so let's move to the next one, because I think we can overcome that. I think that's pretty common sense.
So, again, like I said, it's unusual for this kind of bickering between Jeff and Allison to go on. Also because, again, Allison is kind of representing the position of Stephen Barry, so now. And that becomes more of an open conflict a little bit later on in the meeting. They go through several rounds of this kind of bickering back and forth about Jeff basically saying we ought to be facilitating the Beulah Town Center proposal, even though he had written extensively about how that one doesn't work. But I think now he's changed his mind based on some of the things that he heard from Fred Hemmer. And so, again,
that seems pretty okay.
So fighting with Allison over all this.
The county would be required to pay all of Beulah Town Center's actual damages if the county doesn't close. I mean, that makes sense. If we somehow prevented this from closing, I think we would owe them. Do you disagree with that?
The board certainly has the right to go against legal advice, but in every instance, we're going to advise you all to try to avoid those types of terms being imposed against.
Well, we're never going to get a buyer that's going to put $25 million into something if there's nothing, right? Fred, would you sign something for $25 million if there was no protection whatsoever for you? Yeah, of course. And that we'll be on the ninth deal, and the 10th, and the 11th, and the 12th, and the 13th.
And I actually agree with him. I think that, you know, if we put in these impossible stipulations that, or we refuse to allow them reasonable stipulations, then we won't get a deal ever, and we'll just keep having a vacant plot of land there, and we'll never do anything with it. And, you know, Jeff wants to get something done. He wants to see jobs come in. He wants to see, you know, something come in, and the people who want to see houses and a town center, they want to see all that come in. So, again, I'm not quite sure why Stephen Barry is dragging his feet so much on this. I do think he has some reasonable concerns. Some people, I am not in this camp, but some people have speculated that, you know, maybe he's dragging his feet because he's hoping to make Fred Hemmer quit his application. Then he can, you know, somehow or other it can go to Chavers. I mean, I don't see that. I understand what people are saying, but I don't see that. And so we come back, and then there's open disagreement between Stephen Barry and Jeff Bergosh on this, because Stephen says, look, it's not fair that they can hold up the process, that they can make it so we don't close, and then we'd be obligated to them if they're the ones creating the conditions that make us wind up being in default of the closing date. And he and Jeff just completely disagree about this.
These are not standard terms in real estate contracts on our side of it, and I don't believe that that's going to be the case with any buyer. It's not been the case with other buyers of property from sellers. You don't see these terms and languages between two parties.
I will respectfully disagree with you, Commissioner Barry, because I've owned commercial property and sold it and bought it, and I've seen these contracts. And I think if there's not something in there that stipulates the buyer's responsibility and the seller's responsibility, and if you go all the way through and at the end the seller says, well, you know, I'm not going to do it, there has to be a remedy.
So this is, to me, this is just very interesting, because this is kind of the first time you've seen a disagreement among the three that almost always vote together, Jeff Bergosh, Lumen May, and Stephen Barry. And you clearly have a lot of disagreement. Now, Stephen Barry did come back and say he agrees with the principle of it. He's just worried about putting that kind of power in the hands of the buyer. He's raising questions about the term of the deal, you know, for a year, that they have a year to close. And in the end, actually, they had an interesting landing, because the in the end was, you know what? We realize we don't even have the zoning right on this. We need to fix some of the underlying things that have not even yet been done properly on this land so that it is ready to go to a contract offer and really willing to be done with. And they seem to be willing to do that, which I thought was a very positive development overall in the end.
You hear the concern, though.
But I think it's still reasonable, even if the action we're doing is delineating the 250 acres on the northern portion and removing the light industrial from the southern portion. Those are things that have to be done.
Yeah. So to make it viable commercially.
So let's move at a very expedited manner. Let's move forward in the most expeditious as we can to do the things that we know have to be done.
So, putting it all together, net takeaway, I think Jeff Bergosh feels he's very motivated to get something done before the election, especially before the primary. I'm not sure Stephen Barry feels anything like that same sense. I think everybody's worried that if we don't say yes, we're going to eventually wind up having nothing. You know, because we've had it now for, you know, 5 years and there's nothing out there. You don't even have, the public can't even use the land, like I've asked many times. Why don't you just take the fence down and let people use it as a park? I mean, it's, you know, at least that. But no, not that. And, you know, Fred Hemmer seemed to be the one that had come along that had the most compatible plan with the master plan that had been formed by DPZ and Teresa Blackwell, who's been at odds with Jeff Bergosh over what should go on that property. And they both seemed to be happy with the, you know, the master plan. And so it seemed like we were on the way. And then all of a sudden there were kind of these hiccups in the road or speed bumps in the road. And, you know, not quite clear where they came from or why they were motivated. But I'm weirdly a little bit optimistic that maybe with, not so optimistic, we're going to have a committee of the whole where they can get together and hash all this stuff out, but I'm actually semi-optimistic that in the next month or two, we might actually get to where there could be almost maybe a deal to develop this property by Beulah Town Center. But we'll see. You know, we've had our hopes up before, we kicked up the football and didn't turn out. 623 here on News Radio Pensacola. I'm Andrew McKay.
Pensacola Christian Academy is the area's premier kindergarten learning program. Why? Because in a fun, safe environment, even four-year-olds learn to read, beginning with letters and sounds, progressing to reading words, sentences, and stories. And the best part? If your child attends K-4 and K-5 at Pensacola Christian Academy, you'll get first grade tuition-free. Spots are filling quickly, so go to enrollpca.com to register now.
You know what you want to do in retirement, but do you know how to get there? Tune in to What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair of Swan Capital, Saturdays at 1 to get answers to your retirement planning questions. Plan today so you can do all the things you've dreamt about doing in retirement. Don't miss What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair, Saturdays at 1. Firm offers insurance services, advisory services offered through Swan Capital, LLC.
The Pensacola housing real estate market has been crazy for the past few years.
How do you know when to buy or sell?
You'll need an expert to help you. Tune into the Pensacola Expert Panel today at 9 a.m. right after Pensacola Morning News to hear real estate expert Christina Leavenworth with Leavenworth Realty discuss current real estate conditions. That's today at 9 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Okay, let's talk about renovation and how it's not like your ordinary happy ending home makeover show. Example, there are the guys who prey on homeowners and never show up to do the work. So that's why the state of Florida licenses contractors. You can check if your contractor is licensed at the Florida Department of Business and Professional Regulation website at myfloridalicense.com.
This message is sponsored by the Florida Department of Business and Professional Regulation, the Florida Association of Broadcasters, and this station.
You're a storyteller, negotiator, artist, innovator. Whatever your passion, whatever your skills, behind the scenes or in front, you belong here. A career in broadcast media. Local radio and TV stations in every town and city need someone like you. So do what you love and bring your talent to life. Your passion, your skills, your career. You belong here. Learn more at youbelonghere.media.
Pensacola Right Now with Joe and Austin. 4 to 7 on News Radio Pensacola. Informative, local, dependable.
I keep playing. I don't think the heavy stuff's going to come down for quite a while.
Good morning, 627 here on News Radio Pensacola. I'm Andrew McKay. It does seem like an Iggy Pop sort of day, doesn't it?
It does.
I don't know what that means, but we're right. Jimmy's got traffic on the fives. Jimmy?
If you are heading northbound on North Palafox Street this morning, you can expect to see a lot of traffic building up in between East Tahar Drive and Cervantes. And looking like a lot of traffic building up on Bayou Boulevard this morning, heading westbound, specifically at the intersection of 9th Avenue there. Coming in from Pace and Milton, you are looking good all the way over the U.S. 90 bridge into Pensacola this morning. And Gulf Breeze and Navarre, you are looking clear as well all the way over the 3-mile bridge into town. If you see anything else on the road, please call or text our traffic tip line, 437-1620. I'm Jimmy with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, Jimmy. David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, Donald Trump is holding a campaign rally tonight in New York City. That'll take place at a park in the South Bronx. Train founding member and bassist Charlie Collin has died at the age of 58. Apparently, he died after slipping and falling in the shower while he was house-sitting in Belgium. The band released a tribute to Collin, saying his unique bass playing and beautiful guitar work helped to get them noticed. And President Biden holding a state dinner tonight at the White House for the president of Kenya, the event marking the 60th anniversary of the U.S. partnership with Kenya. And apparently that'll feature a performance by country music star Brad Paisley.
All right. Very good, David. Thanks so much for the update. If you're thinking about buying or selling a home, especially selling, you know, and you're trying to decide when is the right time, is now the right time, can I get more money in a month or two? Or will I be getting less money in a month or two? I don't know the answer to that. Depends where you live. Depends on the price. Depends on what the rates are. Depends on possibly what's going on with military change of station or with, schools being let out and people move around because they don't want to move during a school year. I mean, these are all factors, okay? And I don't know how all that works, but Christine Leavenworth does. And our team at Leavenworth Realty, they can help you understand all of that, answer your questions, help you make better decisions. And then if you are trying to sell a house, man, they are just really, really good at that. Everything from even having like one of the best photographers to just take the photos that they put online that you know can make the difference between whether somebody comes to the open house or what they think of the house. I mean, just all of that stuff. They nail it. 723-9158 for Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty. 629 here on News Radio Pensacola. Breaking news, the big story of the day.
Trump has not been perfect on these policies. I've made that clear many, many times. But Biden has been a catastrophe. So I will be voting for Trump. Trump would be smart to reach out to the millions of people who voted for me and continue to support me.
Is this news? What, did you think Nikki Haley was going to endorse Biden? I don't know. I mean, I guess it's news because she was so opposed to Trump and he was so opposed to her for so long. But, I mean, really. You know, when push comes to shove, I have a lot of negative things to say about Trump, but give me, come on. This is not an option, right? Between these two choices. So, I don't know. It's been hyped as the big story of the day. I'm just not sure it really is. Oh, what is kind of a cool story is the Gulf Breeze Zoo turns 40 today. Happy birthday, Gulf Breeze Zoo. That's fantastic. From a 19 acres and 60 animals to 1,200 animals on 50 acres today. Great facility.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. At her first public appearance since dropping out of the Republican presidential race, Nikki Haley says she'll be voting for Donald Trump in November.
Trump would be smart to reach out to the millions of people who voted for me and continue to support me and not assume that they're just going to be with him.
She's one of the 20% of the vote in primaries this month. Graceland will not be sold. A company planning a foreclosure auction dropped its ownership claim.
This came hours after a Tennessee judge blocked the auction of the former home of Elvis Presley. The company, Nosiny Investments and Private Lending, claimed that Lisa Marie Presley, who died last year, used Graceland as collateral for a loan that wasn't repaid. Presley's granddaughter, Riley Keough, filed a restraining order claiming that the company was engaged in fraud.
Fox's Michelle Polino, a legal notice, had announced an auction to be held today. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 6:31 at News Radio Pensacola. I'm David Wayne. Right now it is 72 degrees and partly cloudy this morning. The son of former congressional candidate and fired state employee Rebecca Jones has been sentenced over threats made to the Holly Navarre Middle School last year. News Radio's Joe Ford with more.
Last year, JJ, as he is referred to in court documents, was accused of threatening to shoot up the school and harm individual students on social media. At the time of his arrest, Rebecca Jones claimed that her son had been arrested by order of Governor DeSantis in retaliation for her whistleblower complaints over COVID-19 data. Well, this week, a Santa Rosa County judge withheld conviction but sentenced JJ to an indefinite probation that would not exceed his 19th birthday. JJ pleaded no contest to charges back in December. Joe Ford, News Radio, Pensacola.
Thank you very much, Joe. This morning, Santa Rosa County leaders will be discussing a plan to potentially replace the Navarre Beach Bridge. While no action is expected on that today, Delivering Bridges LLC will deliver a presentation to the Board of County Commissioners. Their plans call for expanding the bridge to four lanes and also adding a pedestrian lane.
Staff did tell them, we do not guarantee you the job. We do put them out for bid. If we did it that way, any job we do goes out for bid.
Regardless of who were to build the bridge, much of the conversation will likely center around whether tolls should be used to help pay for it. The discussion and debate starts later this morning at 8:30. And in other bridge news today, as of noon, the Foley Beach Express goes toll-free.
And they have to be a toll.
Sorry, wrong clip there. It goes toll-free at noon.
This is good news for locals, for Alabamians across the state, and for our visitors from near and far. Because as we all know, there are no better beaches to visit than right here on Alabama's beautiful Gulf Coast.
And that, of course, Alabama Governor Kay Ivey. Now, she signed that paperwork at Foley's City Hall yesterday. The state takes ownership of the bridge at noon today. The agreement for $57 million, $3 million of that will go to Orange Beach for road improvements there. Well, we are expecting here later on this morning to learn more about the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration's 2024 Atlantic hurricane forecast. Weather officials will be discussing the expected storm activity for the year and climate factors, which will influence potential hurricane development during this year's season, which begins very shortly on June 1st. Forecasters at Colorado State University and Penn State University have both predicted a very active hurricane season this year. That, of course, due to warm ocean temperatures and the expected transition into a La Nina climate pattern. The National Hurricane Center began issuing their daily tropical weather outlooks last week. No storms are predicted, though, in the next 7 days. And also learning that a rabies advisory has been issued for Escambia County. A case of rabies apparently confirmed in a wild bat last week. Officials say that was found in Tippin Park last Thursday. The Florida Department of Health says all residents and visitors should be aware that rabies could be present here in our area in the wild animal population, so avoid physical contact with wild animals. It is 6:35. Let's get a look at our traffic on the fives. Jimmy, what are you seeing?
Not seeing too much on our roadways this morning, David. No major accidents or slowdowns. If you are traveling northbound on North Palafox Street, you can expect to see some traffic built up right before Fairfield intersection. And northbound on Davis Highway, building up a little bit before the East Tahar Drive intersection. Otherwise, pretty good for Pace and Milton coming into Pensacola this morning. No slowdowns on the bridge and good all the way into town. And the same is for Gulf Breeze and Navarre. Clear on the way westbound on the way down 98 and over the 3 Mile Bridge this morning. If you see anything else on the road, please call or text our traffic tip line, 437-1620. I'm Jimmy with your traffic on the fives.
We are going to have a beautiful day today with mostly sunny skies, high near 85 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 73. For Friday, 10% chance of a stray sprinkle, otherwise mostly sunny with a high near 85. Friday night, temperatures dropping near 75 degrees. Beautiful weather continues into our Memorial Day weekend with plenty of sunshine Saturday and Sunday, just a small chance of a stray shower. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Right now, 72 in Pensacola, 74 in Gulf Breeze, 70 in Milton. Our next news at 7 and breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne for News Radio Pensacola.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. The Justice Department has announced plans to sue Live Nation, alleging the entertainment giant has used its ticketing monopoly to suppress competition and should be broken up. The lawsuit would seek changes to the company's business practices and is asking a judge to effectively undo the 2010 merger of Live Nation and Ticketmaster. NVIDIA has announced a 10-for-1 forward stock split in its fiscal first quarter earnings report. The shares will begin trading on a split-adjusted basis at the market open on June 10th. Stock splits do nothing to change the financial fundamentals of a company, but they do make each share cheaper. Its shares closed at $949.50 yesterday. With the split, each share would cost $94.95 each. Futures are moderately higher. Yesterday, the Dow Industrials lost 201, the NASDAQ down 31, and the S&P 500 down 14. That's your money now.
Getting quality employees to fill positions in your company is essential, but finding those people can be a major hassle, unless you use ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter makes finding quality people a breeze. And right now, you can try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/free. With ZipRecruiter, one click sends your job to hundreds of top job sites. But more than that, ZipRecruiter's advanced technology identifies the candidates with the skills you need, sends you a list of great matches to review, then actively invites them to apply for your job. And the results speak for themselves. 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. That's right, the first day. Now you can focus on your business and let ZipRecruiter do the work finding the best people for you. See for yourself. Experience the ease, efficiency, and power of ZipRecruiter for free. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free. ZipRecruiter.com/free.
We see it every day. A guy comes into the men's clinic and guess what? The pills quit working, or they're sick of the side effects. And you know what else we see? Guys not confident in their relationship. At Wave Men's Health, we're the leaders in bedroom confidence. Understanding if you even need ED or low T treatment should be the first step, and the next should be choosing the treatment or treatment combination to build your confidence. Our urologist and physician group is offering professional, modern treatments with success rates as high as 92% and decades of experience. Our doctor's not going to send you an email with what might work for most people. We are results results-driven. Concierge. You don't pay for medication. It's included, but you invest in the time it takes to get you where you want to be. We've built an experience with discretion that takes the worry out of going to the doctor. In fact, we've normalized it for guys all over Pensacola. Come see our friendly team in Pensacola and find out why we've been number one in men's health for years. Get a consultation and low-T blood work with results on your first visit for $99. Get your confidence back in the bedroom and beyond. Go to WaveMensHealth.com and book your appointment today. WaveMensHealth.com.
Spring is a great time of the year for gardening, whether it's fertilizing the lawn, pruning, planting shrubs and summer blooming plants, and of course, tending to that vegetable garden. This is Mike Wiggins. If you've got spring gardening questions, we've got answers on the News Radio Garden Line every Tuesday morning at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel. And if you miss us on Tuesday, then catch the Encore Edition every Saturday morning at 9. It's sponsored by Pensacola Hardware, Blue Sky Landscaping, and Barnes Feed Store.
News Radio Pensacola has just received another major award thanks to you, our listeners. This time, it's the prestigious 2024 Crystal Award from the National Association of Broadcasters, where representatives of the broadcast industry, community service organizations, and public relations firms chose the top 10 radio stations in America, including News Radio Pensacola, to receive the Crystal Award for our exceptional year-round commitment to community service. News Radio Pensacola.
Informative, local, dependable.
Talk about impact fees. There was a Pensacola News Journal article, Sunday's paper, and it was about a Supreme Court ruling that was passed down that basically ruled against impact fees.
Not exactly. The PNG article by Steve Moorhead. This is Chris Kerb, who represents flood defenders at the county. I think it's understandable why Chris would make this mistake. I don't blame him for it. I think the article in the PNJ that Steve Moorhead wrote, I think, didn't really make it clear what happened. Even I heard this in the District 4 County Commissioner discussion the other day. Walker Wilson mentioned it. And the Sheets decision by the Supreme Court is actually very, very interesting. I think most people have probably misunderstood this decision. And I actually went and read it. I don't read them all the time, but this one was very interesting, and it does have to do with impact fees. But let's maybe start with this. They did not resolve anything related to whether impact fees are allowable or not allowable. And so for people who might have heard the headline or seen it on TikTok or God, I read a very discouraging article yesterday about some fairly sizable portion, I think it's like 65% of students on campus are sympathetic to the Palestinian protesters, and the primary news source for most of them is TikTok. That great and wonderful source of reliable and nuanced information. It's not. Anyway, back to the case at hand. So the headline takeaway that a lot of people, I think, drew from the Sheets case was the Sheets versus El Dorado, is that you can't have impact fees or that impact fees are constrained. No, that's not what the ruling said, okay? If you want to kind of understand this, a guy wanted to build a house, 2016. He wanted to build a manufactured home on a lot that he owns in Placerville, California, in El Dorado County. The lot located in a place that he would have to pay traffic impact mitigation fees. Sound familiar? Something that Santa Rosa County has already put into place conditional upon the passage of the local option sales tax increase in November. Something that Commissioner Bergosh here in Escambia County has said that he wants to keep bringing up either as impact fees or traffic concurrency or, you know, mobility fees or whatever. I don't have my concurrency watch. I think we're 5 meetings in 60-plus days now of the commissioner talking about it, not actually bringing it up before a vote. But, you know, we're waiting. We'll see. Anyway, so he wanted to build a home, and they were going to put a $24,000 fee on him. Now, granted, in California, $24,000 is what, 18 cents? I mean, you know, so okay. But a $24,000 impact fee on a mobile home is a lot. And so, he said this is, he paid it. And then he took them to court saying, this is not appropriate. They should not be able to do this without explaining how they satisfy the Nolan and Dolan tests. And now, I know a lot of this is kind of obscure material, but it's going to be important for you to understand, because if we don't understand this, then when we get to deciding about things like traffic concurrency or mobility fees or impact fees, we're going to go astray because we don't understand these things. And then we're going to wind up in court, and then they're going to be struck down, and they're going to be back to square one, and we're not going to have improved anything. So it's important for you as voters to think about all of this stuff. And here's the short version. You have two prior Supreme Court cases that ruled that there are two tests that have to be satisfied for impact fees. Test number one is called the Nolan test. And that, as Amy Coney Barrett, writing for a unanimous court, 9-0, she says permit conditions must have an essential nexus to the government's land use interest. So you have to be using the money to do something that is connected to the land use. And like, for example, if you're increasing residential on a property and that's going to increase traffic and you're wanting to use the money to build roads, there's a logical essential nexus there. Okay. But if you are charging people money because you want to have, I don't know, a parade, not so much. Can't do that. Okay. Second, permit conditions must, this is the Dolan test, Nolan and Dolan, they rhyme. Second, permit conditions must have rough proportionality to the development's impact on the land use interest. So, for example, if you decided, well, we need to build new roads, roads are expensive, we're putting five homes in this subdivision and a new road there would be, you know, $5 million, and so we'll just charge them each $1 million. Well, you know, that might be proportional division of the cost, but that's not really proportional to the overall value of that thing. And so, or you might even think, well, we'll just overcharge people and we'll fund the construction of stormwater management elsewhere. You can't do it. Okay. Has to be proportional, has to be directly related, the nexus and proportionality tests. So what happened in this case is the local, and I forget, it's not the county commission, it's not the city council, it's some other name that they have, the local municipality's ruling board put in the impact fee and charged it and did not satisfy these tests, saying, because we are a legislative body, these tests don't apply to us. Those tests don't apply to this kind of situation. And the California Court of Appeals didn't even look at whether they satisfied Nolan and Dolan. They simply said, you know what? You're a legislative body. You're right. This doesn't apply to you. And Amy Coney Barrett, writing for the court, says, oh my God, how did you guys get to be so dumb? Because here's the background on this. A impact fee is a taking, is a fine, is a penalty on you using your entitled land use according to the zoning of the future land use or whatever. They're making you pay in order to use what you're entitled to use. That's the idea of an impact fee. I have this property. I can build a house on this property, but the government's not going to let me build a house on my property, to which I'm entitled to do, unless I pay them this fee in order to handle something else, like creating traffic access or police force or education or stormwater. Okay? It's a penalty on using the land the way you're supposed to be allowed to use it. Therefore, it's a taking. You're taking property in order to use property. Think eminent domain. You want to widen a road like I-10, you've got to buy off the property owners and pay them a reasonable cost for the land that you're taking in order to expand the road surface. Same thing here. If you're doing an impact fee, it's a taking. It's a form of the kind of thing that eminent domain is. You're telling people that they're going to have a fee applied to them if they want to use the land the way they're entitled to use it. Therefore, there's heightened scrutiny. You've got to really go through hoops in order to prove that it's okay to do this, and simply doing it through the legislature doesn't bypass those hoops. That's step one to understand. We'll come back to this in a second. Jimmy's got traffic on the fives.
If you are coming into Pensacola from Pace or Milton, we are starting to see some of that morning traffic building up on Woodbine at the intersection of US 90, with some slowdowns prevalent on the US 90 bridge. Coming in from Canton, seeing some slowdowns heading southbound on South Highway 29, and traffic backing up on Blue Angel Parkway at the intersection with Mobile Highway. If you see anything else on the road, please call or text our traffic tip line, 437-1620. This traffic report brought to you by Mattress Firm. Mattress Firm's Memorial Day sale is here. Get a Sleepy's Queen mattress at the lowest price ever, just $89.99. This offer ends Tuesday. In-store pickup only while supplies last. I'm Jimmy with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, Jimmy. Back to the Supreme Court, the Sheets versus El Dorado case, impact fees, traffic concurrency, and all of the other stuff that we are all talking about all the time here in Santa Rosa and Escambia County. This case that comes out of California and wound up by the Supreme Court just this week. Okay. The ruling was actually maybe two weeks ago. Okay. So Amy Coney Barrett, writing for a unanimous court, says the California Court of Appeals declined to assess the county's traffic impact fee for an essential nexus and rough proportionality, Dolan and Nolan, based on its view that the Nolan-Dolan test does not apply to, quote, legislatively prescribed monetary fees, meaning that if the county commission would be in our case, if the county commission passes it, you don't have to prove proportionality. You don't have to prove that it's rationally related to a nexus. That was error, she says. Nothing in constitutional text, history, or precedent supports exempting legislatures from ordinary takings rules. You idiots. That's what she's saying. You dummies. California Court of Appeals, how did you get this so wrong? She goes on. Far from supporting a deferential view, history shows that legislation was a prime target for scrutiny under the Takings Clause, meaning the very idea that you would just kind of defer to the judgment of the elected body, it's completely contrary to the idea of our Constitution, of the Revolution, of the reason we threw off an unjust form of government with Britain. In sum, there is no basis for affording property rights less protection in the hands of legislators than administrators. That was the alternative, that like your building and zoning had put in the fee. And they had to go through the nexus and proportionality test, but that the legislature did not. The legislators do. The Takings Clause applies equally to both, which means that it prohibits the legislature and agencies alike from imposing unconstitutional conditions on land use permits. A taking is a taking is a taking, regardless of who does it. Or what mechanism they use to do it, is what she's saying. Here's why this matters. They did not overthrow impact fees. The Supreme Court did not strike down impact fees. The Supreme Court specifically didn't even rule on the legitimacy of impact fees. What they said is, if you're going to have them, you got to go through the proper tests of rational nexus and proportionality. They have to be reasonable. There may still be other issues regarding impact fees, but we're not going to decide that. In fact, Justice Kavanaugh writes a dissent with which Kagan and Jackson both agreed, both liberals on the court. He says, importantly, therefore, today's decision does not address or prohibit the common government practice of imposing permit conditions, such as impact fees, on new developments through reasonable formulas or schedules that assess the impact of classes of development rather than the impact of specific parcels of property. Moreover, as is apparent from the fact that today's decision expressly leaves the question open, no prior decision of this court has addressed or prohibited that longstanding government practice. And the reason I say that is this. The reporting and the common understanding, as people have been talking about this in front of county commissions and city councils and as chatter online and whatnot, they have thought the Supreme Court struck down impact fees. They did not. They specifically refused to rule on impact fees. What they said is if you're going to have them, they got to go through these processes. And to me, here's what I learned out of all of this. I'm more questioning of the idea of impact fees than I ever was before, and here's why. I know you want to say something like this. People moved into the area. Their cars created traffic. Traffic creates problems we all have to deal with. They should have to pay for that. I understand, but remember, they can't be forced to pay for the inconvenience to existing problems of roads, or it's not even obvious that you can make them pay too much for like added capacity to roads that are pre-existing problems, like say a Woodbine Road or a 9 Mile or an Olive or a US 29 or an Avalon, okay? There's another issue, though. It was a change of mindset for me to realize that an impact fee is a taking, that you're forcing them to pay in order to lawfully use their property, which is in, again, the eminent domain kind of family, legally speaking. And mix that with the issue of when people build a house, the property value is very high and they don't have a very high homestead exemption because it's a brand new home. They don't carry over with the limitations on the increase in homestead exemptions over the years. And so new homeowners are paying the most in property taxes. This is a point that Sam Parker has made repeatedly at the county commission in Santa Rosa County. They're already paying a massive amount of property taxes. And on top of that, you're going to force them to pay impact fees. Well, their property taxes should be covering the cost of the roads. And if the county's not properly creating roads in order to handle development, I'm not sure you can blame that on the developer or the new person. I think you blame that on the commission or the city that isn't doing their job of using the current and expected future property taxes to plan with roads and stormwater and police force and schools. That's more a school board issue, but you get my point. I had been sort of neutral on impact fees. I thought they were generally, they looked a little bit outrageous and they weren't really enough money to make it make sense. But I'm now even more concerned about whether they're even legitimate, sort of philosophically, because they're in this category of government taking in a way that might not be justifiable philosophically. So that's where I'm at. And I just kind of wanted to walk you through all of that. And, you know, where does that leave us for questions about mobility fees or concurrency or impact fees? I'm still generally in favor of concurrency. But I think that's the job of the county commissioner, the city council, to make the roads work for the developments as they're coming, and then not to just blame the developers on their inability to maintain existing roads and to plan for capacity and to have enough money in order to pave the new roads for the new developments that are coming. That seems like the kind of thing that the county government ought to be thinking about and doing. And if they haven't, I'm not sure you can build, you know, I'm not sure you can blame the new people or the builders for a failure to do what the government was supposed to be doing. 6:55 on News Radio Pensacola. I'm Andrew McKay. Jimmy's got traffic on the fives.
If you are heading northbound on Blue Angel Parkway this morning, you can expect to see some traffic building up as you approach the intersection with Mobile Highway. Coming into Pensacola from Cantonment, you can see a lot of traffic building up on North Palafox Street from Cantonment all the way to East 9 Mile Road. And coming in from Pace or Milton, you guys are looking pretty good. Starting to see some of that traffic building up on Woodbine at the intersection with US 90 if you want to hop on Guernsey Road and start taking Chemukla to get on the US 90 bridge. You guys are clear all the way from there into Pensacola this morning. If you see anything else on the road, please call or text our traffic tip line, 437-1620. This traffic report brought to you by Executive Landscaping. Executive Landscaping, call us today for all of your commercial and premium landscaping needs. I'm Jimmy with your traffic on the fives.
Hey, Kevin, how's the boat running?
Well, you know, last week I started working on the water pump, and now I can't remember how it goes back together.
Dude, stop. Call Key Marine. They'll get you and your Mercury outboard back in the water so we can go back to fishing again.
Key Marine gets the work done and lets you handle the fun. They'll fix any problem, big or small, even if the problem is you don't remember how the parts go back together. Key Marine, your Mercury outboard dealer on Bower Road in Pensacola.
The Port of Pensacola is more than just a name. It's a powerhouse of economic opportunities, a strategic location that sparks growth and prosperity, contributing significantly to the local and regional economy with 23 incredible businesses that call this port home. Big names like C-Max Materials, GE Wind Energy, and soon the prestigious American Magic Sailing Team. Since 1754, the Port of Pensacola has been the driving force behind Northwest Florida's economic success. Explore more at portofpensacola.com.
Here's what's happening around Pensacola this week. Include Fort Pickens in your Memorial Day weekend activities. Sunday and Monday, check out living history displays and demonstrations. See Fort Pickens Memorial Weekend on Facebook. Enjoy the sun, sand, and music at the 7th Annual Family Beach Festival, Saturday at the Gulfside Pavilion. A fun day of celebration and inspiration. Please see Family Beach Fest on Facebook. Find more events and submit yours at newsradio923.com.
Pizza's here.
Oh, great. I'd love some, but I'm worried about my stomach issues.
If you're worried about having diarrhea, gas, bloating, stomach pain, or loose, oily stools, it may not just be stomach issues. It could be a condition called exocrine pancreatic insufficiency, or EPI. With EPI, the pancreas doesn't release enough enzymes to break down food, but EPI is manageable. Use the symptom checker on identifyepi.com and talk to your doctor. That's identifyepi.com. Sponsored by AbbVie.
The Dave Ramsey Show, weeknight 7 to 10, before WEAR-TV News, on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
So much for crystals.
Best text ever. Somebody says, I just don't think your impact fee discussion is going to make it on TikTok. Therefore, does it really exist? Oh, it's painful and true. David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, a Tampa man is going to prison for his role in the assassination of Haiti's president. A federal judge yesterday in Miami sentenced Frederick Bergman to 9 years for backing a military expedition against a friendly nation and breaking export laws. Former Maryland State's Attorney Marilyn Mosby scheduled to be sentenced in a perjury and mortgage fraud case involving vacation homes here in Florida. Earlier this year, a jury found Mosby guilty of lying on mortgage applications. And last year, she was convicted on two counts of perjury for lying to obtain a COVID-19 hardship withdrawal from a retirement account also to buy those homes.
Very good. Oh, Circle K's theoretically have 40 cents off per gallon as a fundraiser today from 4 to 7.
Local talk in the morning, 5 to 9 with Andrew McKay is on News Radio 92.3. WNRP, Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.